The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability. Heavy rains moving out of Nebraska and moving through Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri, with some rains also up in eastern South Dakota. And this was a strong storm. In fact, we should probably put out a call to Nebraska to see how the state handled those high winds overnight.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Pam Johnson. And right after the news, a quick update from Margie Eckelkamp from Ag Pro Magazine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jim Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, hopefully everything stays connected here this morning, because those high winds that rolled through Nebraska last night, they're starting to knock on my door right now. They're just moving into the area. So, wow, rough night in some areas.
Yeah. I was just seeing some videos that people have posted on Twitter. Geez, we got a grain bin that's basically folded in half. We've got giant hail falling out of the sky. That's headed this way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm scared, Chip.
Well, you'll be fine.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you. I feel better.
Just don't go outside if it's hailing like that, okay?
All right. Good advice. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's in those areas where the crop really was looking pretty good, it concerns me that maybe we saw some damage overnight, or what we're going to be doing to the crop over the next, week, I guess.
Leading up
to Wednesday, really, I think is when things will start to straighten out a bit in the Midwest, is what the weather forecasts look like.
Okay.
But we're going to dump a lot of water on what should be some pretty good crops here over the next 3-4 days.
Well, and wind, I imagine their crops aren't quite tall enough that wind is going to be a major concern, but still a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that we need to pay attention to, no doubt. All right, buddy, let's get into the news. What's going on?
Sure thing. Well, in response to the downing of a U.S. military drone near Iran, the U.S. military prepared a retaliatory strike, but President Trump put the mission on stand down at the 11th hour. While some speculated the threat was little more than a bluff, Trump reasoned that he was unwilling to take lives over the downing of an unmanned drone. Of retaliatory measures, Trump tweeted, quote, "I'm in no hurry. Our military is rebuilt, new, and ready to go, by far the best in the world. Sanctions are biting, and more were added last night. Iran can, all caps here, never have nuclear weapons, not against the USA and not against the world." Crude oil futures responded higher, with Brent futures up 4.5% and WTI crude oil futures up 6% yesterday. Crude futures, by the way, Chip, are mildly higher this morning.
Yeah, and a huge fire at a refinery in Philadelphia, the biggest refinery on the East Coast. I mean, the energy markets are taking blows this morning and trying to figure out how to deal with it all.
Well, meanwhile, the Senate yesterday voted to block a multi-billion-dollar arms sale to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The Trump administration made an attempt to run the sale around Congress by declaring the Iran situation an emergency. The president is expected to overturn the Senate vote and approve the sale. The Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was in Washington yesterday meeting with President Trump. After their chat, Trump expressed optimism that Congress will move quickly to ratify the USMCA, saying, quote, "I really do believe that Nancy Pelosi and the House and Senate will approve it rapidly. It's going to be very bipartisan. It's great for farmers, manufacturers, great for everybody, and great for unions." Chip, interesting he threw unions in there at the end of that list. Earlier this week, U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer lauded House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's creation of a task force to mete out Democratic support for the measure. So, moving forward there, we know the Democrats have some concerns, but they've got people in place to investigate those,
Yeah, absolutely. And We're going to talk about this more on the free for all, the schedule and the timing for USMCA. Mm-hmm. But think about the comments from Congressman Conaway yesterday, the comments from Graves. Both of them were cautiously optimistic that USMCA is going to move forward fairly quickly.
Because there's an August recess coming up, if I got that right. And we'd like
That's
to
right.
get it done before then.
Yeah, and Chuck Grassley, who is going to be on the show on Monday morning, mm-hmm. is looking for ways to push for a vote on USMCA before that August recess.
All right. Well, and just as a reminder, earlier this week, legislators in Mexico voted to ratify the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Chip, Laos has now joined the bevy of nations battling African swine fever. China's General Administration of Customs says it has banned the import of Laotian pigs, wild boars, and pork products, and said it would increase quarantine inspections of baggage and packages carried by tourists. Laos detected the disease in its herd earlier this week. And finally, Chip, we did talk about this yesterday, but I think it's important enough to quickly highlight here. USDA announced farmers who planted cover crops on prevented plant acres will be permitted to hay, graze, or chop those fields earlier than November this year. USDA's Risk Management Agency adjusted the 2019 final haying and grazing date from November 1st to September 1st. The agency points out the adjustment is for 2019 production only. Chip.
Yeah, very good. And it was a move that I think was very much welcomed by cattlemen out there. Maybe the only ones that didn't welcome it was the hay producers, the guys that are trying to sell some hay.
Right.
All right, let's turn it over to AgPro editor Margie Echo.
Today is Donald Green. Donald, you work at Nutrien, and I know as a large company with a lot of divisions, can you just talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges of inventory reporting and how you guys saw solutions with the Ag Gateway?
Yes, definitely. Until now, there have been limited choices for inventory reporting for retailers and small to medium-sized distributors. Choices have been to implement automated electronic reporting, such as XML or EDI. And XML and EDI electronic reporting are still the preferred method, but it can take considerable time and resources to establish electronic connections for both the sending and receiving parties. Or, for those who don't have electronic reporting connection, their only option was to create dozens of custom Excel spreadsheets, each with a specific format to the manufacturer or third-party data collector. And it can take several hours to change the formats and values being sent to each manufacturer's specifications. Often the manufacturers want a product reported with a different product ID or unit of measure than a retailer or distributor has in their system. Now, these different product IDs and units of measure can also create confusion during the inventory reconciliation process.
Wow. So what are some of those internal benefits for having one simple standard file format for inventory reporting?
There are many benefits. So one is the standard is easy to implement. It reduces or even eliminates manual data entry. It improves data accuracy, and it provides one format that satisfies the needs of dozens of manufacturers. So for those even with the most modest, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then also, you know, what are some of those benefits for suppliers and farmer customers?
Definitely. So by supporting this format, manufacturers and suppliers benefit from a broad base of retailers and distributors who can easily produce inventory data in this format. The result is greater adoption, fewer formats to support, faster go-lives, and improved reporting and reconciliation accuracy. Regular inventory reporting means the manufacturer can generate accurate demand planning and make sure they have the right product in the right geographies at the right time for our farming customers.
Wow, so a lot of benefits to partner with AgGateway. Donald, thank you so much for joining us today.
Margie, appreciate that very much. When we come back, we're going to get this free-for-all started. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pam Johnson, and Sean Haney ready to go right here on AgriTalk. With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about preseason planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Here's Dave Jones with the forecast.
Thanks, Karen. We have a rain system coming through the area, which means local farmers are looking at a very strong chance of nitrogen loss, unless they have Pivot Bio proven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that apply nitrogen to corn no matter what Mother Nature throws at you.
Thanks, Dave. Sounds like farmers should start using Pivot Bio proven.
That's right, Karen. With Pivot Bio proven, your nitrogen stays put, whether or not.
To learn more, go to pivotbio.com.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth. And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the ExactEmerge and individual row hydraulic downforce upgrade kits. Visit your John Deere dealer today.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Wow, Davis, we got a lot to cover on today's show, don't we?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Yep. Let's get started. We got Jim Wiesmeyer out there. Jim is the Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How are you this morning, Jim?
Pretty good, Chip. Back from speaking assignments, and I'm ready to go.
Good, good, good. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Sean, it's good to talk with you again.
Hey, great to be here. I'm back from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada's Farm Progress Show, so I've been farm showing all week.
Yeah, that looked like it was a heck of a good show, dude.
Yeah, it was good, and also some rain. That was actually the more important thing. It rained all 3 days, so that was, and much needed rain for out here. So people were smiling.
That's normally how you get it to rain when you need it. You have an outdoor farm show, and that'll usually trigger some rains.
Absolutely, good planning.
Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of the NCGA. How are you this morning, Pam?
Hey, good morning. I'm well. I'm just down on the farm, not going anywhere.
Good. You know, you've got some rain coming your way this morning too, don't you?
Yeah, I keep waiting. First said heavy rains to start at 9. Now it says heavy rains to start at 10:30. So hoping not heavy rains, trying to do some side dressing and spraying and everything else.
Yeah, everybody's still trying to get things done on this crop, and it's not an easy task this year, no question about it. Hey, we've talked a lot about trade this week, as we typically do on AgriTalk, because of the uncertainty surrounding the Trump administration and trade plans. But, Jim, President Trump, Chinese President Xi, had a conversation, I believe it was on Tuesday, and President Trump came away from the conversation quite a bit more optimistic.
Yes, and you know, that's to be expected from Trump, but I think I'm hearing similar things from Xi, at least based on Chinese media. The will apparently is there, Chip, for an eventual agreement, and I think they'll put it back on the high road when they meet next week.
Okay, so the conversation this week is taking place between Lighthizer and Mnuchin and Chinese negotiators, correct?
Absolutely. And they're trying to sort through what they can initially agree on, and then in future talks, you know, get to the nitty gritty again. But it looks like we're back to that 90 to 95% area as far as odds, Chip, for an eventual agreement. Let's hope that's the case.
Yeah. But the question is, what's eventual? Right.
Well, yeah, but this, you know, this is a lot like a merger or, you know, any transaction. You're going to have your setbacks, and, you know, this is a setback. But I see the willing to get to the end zone because it will help both economies and other aspects of, you know, from a geopolitical perspective. So, again, I'm more upbeat this week.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Pam, I know that we've heard this story before, haven't we?
Yep. Yeah, we have. You know, still being optimistic here. You know, okay. The news is saying, you know, Lighthizer's saying it's a big if, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Okay, it's not like going into the G20 meeting down in Argentina last fall, though, is it, Jim?
No, but at least this major impasse and setback, now we know the constraints, Chip, from both sides. And I think that's an element that once you know where the most thorny issues are, then you can at least talk, either get them on or off the table. And so this is a pattern of eventual agreement, and I think we're almost there.
Good.
I think we're going to kind of find out how big the disagreement was that caused the breakup this last time. And so if they're 90 to 95% there, then maybe there wasn't as many things they disagreed about, because if, you know, there was a huge accusation both directions that both sides were moving the goalposts and going back on things they had previously agreed upon. So if that's legitimate and that is true, then they've got a lot of work to do. I think it's very positive they're going to have the meeting. I said on the show last week, I didn't think they were going to meet. I hope I'm wrong. And the meeting actually does happen, which is, you know, if you look at what happened this week in Washington, D.C. between Trudeau and Trump, Trump's seems to be in a bit of a good mood in terms of meeting other leaders. So I think it's an immensely positive thing to put this thing on the right track if they do get the meeting done next week.
Yeah. And it was it sounds like it was a productive meeting between Trudeau and Trump this week, too.
It was normal. Like, it sort of felt like, hey, this is like 3 years ago, Canada and the U.S. on the same side of issues. Things seemed really happy. And all of a sudden, if you remember back to the G7 meeting in Quebec, where President Trump left on a helicopter and said that Prime Minister Trudeau was untrustworthy and dishonest, the relationship has obviously come a long ways, or that was more for show than anything. I think it's positive. This is Canada's way out of this, Chip. I've said this many times on this show that Canada is looking to the U.S. to support them in the release of not only these two unlawfully detained Canadians in China, but also repairing a bit of the relationship in terms of some of our ag products going to that market. Canada has chosen the U.S. side. That's the right side. And we've got, this is also a week where we got Xi and North Korea getting together in a very pomp and circumstance kind of meeting. people are choosing sides, and Canada and the U.S. are on the right side of this one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jim, it is kind of funny, though, the way that Sean just described the meeting between Trump and Trudeau as normal.
Normal. Yeah. Nothing's much normal when it comes to Trump. So I think that was very optimistic news that he said. I think Trump has probably read some of the history between U.S. and Canada relations, which is mostly positive. And he needs Canada and Canada needs us. Thus, you know, more, you know, compromising and more, you know, good words between the two nations.
Yeah, yeah. Pam, what are your thoughts here on USMCA and the progress that we seem to be making?
Well, I'm still really hopeful that we can get it over the finish line, and you know, there have been words from Senator Grassley about definitely we're going to get it done, and then we hear from Blumenauer from Oregon that no way it's going to happen. So I think everybody out there can't be complacent and needs to keep pushing this forward so we get it done, so that, like we've always said, so we can prove even to China that we can negotiate and get a trade deal finished up and move on. If nothing else, you know, the economy and the threats to the economy show that this is really significant.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to say that once again, I'll use the word normal again. Okay. If I look at how President Trump is approaching the ratification of this USMCA, it feels more in a traditional lane. He's throwing some compliments towards Pelosi at times. He's talking, you know, he's meeting with the Canadian Prime Minister saying this is important for both countries. It feels like I'm really optimistic that this is going to happen and get done from a congressional standpoint, because I think the president is approaching it the right way with a little bit of calmness. And I think that's very, very positive.
Yeah, Jim, it is taking on a different feel. And I love the comparison that you made between China and the U.S., like making a merger. Well, it's the same thing with USMCA. And it's almost like President Trump feels like it's quiet time now on this deal. We need to encourage the right people to go ahead and put the signature at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, this is following now a traditional script. Eventually, the Democrats have a clear history of extracting some things that they want. That's called compromising. And we're not at the check writing phase yet. That's going to come later. I think Chuck Grassley is wrong when he says this thing will be done by August. I hope he's right, but I don't think he is. And so we're going to see, what do the Democrats want? This is what Lighthizer's been asking him. And we know Trump likes to write checks. So I think this will eventually be the key. I would tell all ag industry media people to check on the National Farmers Union's opinion, NFU, and I rarely ask that, by the way, because I don't care. But NFU has not been for one multilateral trade agreement. Will they eventually go for this one? And if they do, you can go to the bank. This thing's going to be approved with the help of the Democrats.
Important thing that happened was Trudeau also met with Pelosi to talk about how good some of the more progressive parts of this deal are. That I think that is also an important, that's a very, very positive point as well, trying to convince Pelosi to move ahead.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. And I think that there's a growing optimism around USMCA, and we've got Mexico to thank for that, because they went ahead and ratified. We've got Canada to thank for the more optimistic view because of the conversation between Trump and Trudeau. I love this, that we're describing things as normal, and I think we're a little surprised that we're going down a normal path on this. I love it. I love it. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to go straight to the RFS and ethanol and the waivers and re-examining how SREs are issued. That's next on AgriTalk.
The mighty Prosoro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosoro fungicide. and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosoro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth. And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the ExactEmerge and individual row hydraulic downforce upgrade kits. Visit your John Deere dealer today.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson. Jeff, we had a nice price performance yesterday, but we're giving some of it back today.
Good morning, Chip. Yeah, the problem is it's a weekend coming up. We got the July option expiration today, so there's some movement going on, the positioning by both the buyers and sellers of those options. And I think the bulls are just unwilling right now ahead of a bunch of USDA reports next week on acreage, March 1 grain stocks. And then you also have next week is also a possible weather change. And people want to see how that weather change looks like and then what the next two-week forecast in July looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned those option expirations, Jeff, because it slipped my mind that we were dealing with that today. So they're going to keep that July pretty close to 450, I would think, until we get
right
until those right. options expire. Over on the livestock trade, got some pressure there at the end of the week.
The meat markets and the cash markets are tumbling this week. We have 9% more pigs going to slaughter this week. It's been somewhere between 8% and 7-8% the last 3 weeks. There's just too many pigs coming to market in the hog market. Hogs are limit down in the August, and we're getting new technical selling in there. But maybe that's the final flush we need to see in there, because we still have the African swine fever story out there. And China's purchases, while well below what maybe some of the expectations were, they're still way ahead of a year ago.
Yeah, they are still way ahead of a year ago and probably starting to get into their own reserves of pork over there. Jeff, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again.
Take care.
All right, that is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. You know, Davis, everybody that we talked to this week on the show that was expressing an opinion about trade issues, they just felt more upbeat this week, didn't they?
They really did, and that comes after, you know, if I'm thinking back 3 weeks ago, man, we were all down in the dumps and everything just looked terrible, and last week it was a little better, and this week we're even a little better than that.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep it going.
Yep, we've got momentum, positive momentum going on the trade issues. Let's keep it going.
Yep.
And, you know, and Wiesmeyer, it's a free-for-all today, everybody. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio are on the line with us. Pam mentioned it, and I think it's very important that we need to show other countries that we are negotiating with that we can get a deal done, right, Jim?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the China talks is a lot like what I tell my doctor about my diet. I may increase at the beginning, but eventually I'll get to the target.
Love it. Love it. All right. Let's switch gears here a little bit. Get over to the RFS. I want to start with Pam. It feels like we've got some positive momentum there as well, Pam.
Yeah, I think, you know, the event at Sire over in Council Bluffs really brought things to a point where there's attention being paid to it was good to celebrate E15, but that message that needed to be tempered with bringing up again the issues about the SREs and the waivers. So I think it really helped get the president's attention back to that and get the discussion going again. And so we'll see what happens on that. You know, supposedly he's charged Sonny Perdue and Wheeler to come up with a plan, a plan again. So we'll see what happens.
But
right.
But don't
go ahead, Sean.
Don't let up, everybody. So clearly you got his attention. And he's mentioned the fact that, you know, farmers have shown concern and we need to do something about this. Double down, like pedal down here, and keep the pressure on. And don't just assume because he mentioned it and has directed two people to come up with a plan, which it's kind of like deja vu. That doesn't mean anything's going to change. You got to keep the pressure on and keep on mentioning it, that these exemptions are hurting the biofuel industry, and keep rocking it because it's working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, Chip, Trump thought when he landed Air Force One in Iowa that it was going to be a bed of rose petals because he had pushed for and got the year-round E15. When he didn't hear that and see that, then they had meetings on Air Force One, I've been told, in which they said, what do we do now? And I've heard anything from contacts are telling me no SREs granted to 7 to 13, which would, all those would improve the ethanol margins, right? And but I've been told that, you know, it's hard. Most non-ethanol people are watching this and they're saying, look, don't just focus on that shiny SRE object, because the proposed reset coming, they can't see everything going in the way of the corn producers we're going to see. Because when internal numbers showed Trump, his own internal numbers showed that he was losing Iowa, that's what helped turn this around.
Yeah. And you know, having that organized message, Pam, I think was so critical for that meeting down in Council Bluffs, because he heard it from farmers. He heard it from the workers at the ethanol plant. He heard it from the NCGA. It was just such an organized message to Trump.
Yeah, and it was effective. And I think, you know, incoming vice president of NCGA, Kevin Ross, really did a great job of bringing up that point. Yes, you know, it's what we're all taught. You attack the issue and not the person, and you hold people accountable. So saying, you know, yes, E15 is great, but here's where we need you to listen again. And I don't think that the SREs have been a shiny object. I mean, we've been collectively, like Sean said, you can't let up. We've been talking about this for 2.5 years, and we'll continue to talk about it. And, yeah, we need every farmer, not just corn farmers out there who are interested in building demand, to start making their voices heard on this.
Yes, absolutely. We need to, like Sean said, we need to keep the pressure on. And NCGA, I think, is going to be doing that. They've taken the clip of Kevin Ross on stage with President Trump just over his shoulder, and they've turned it into a TV ad. So they're taking the message out to the masses. And I think that's an important move, don't you think, Jim?
Yes, absolutely. But if some of these corn yields are as low as some prognosticators, the next shoe to fall on corn, and I'm not saying I agree with that whatsoever, you're going to have that price pressure enter politics as well, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this week there was talk that not only are the Southeast hog and poultry producers thinking about bringing in corn from South America, there is also speculation that we might see some South American corn in ethanol country. And when you look at the basis levels out there, especially over in the Eastern Belt, where, Jim, I don't know how else to describe it, but east of the Mississippi River, in the heart of the Corn Belt, we are right on the edge of a catastrophe there with the crop.
Absolutely. And I was in Illinois, my hometown, over the weekend, and I saw just horrible looking crops. I had to go out in the field to see what it was, by the way, in Illinois and Indiana. And, you know, I remember years ago when we had the dramatic run up in corn prices, I used to think that I never knew the top of the market. The top of the market is when the corn ethanol industry chooses to sell their feedstocks into the open market, a speculative market, rather than for ethanol feedstocks. And we're going to watch that.
Yeah, we learned real quick, Sean, before I want to jump in on that, because we learned that even before the RFS. It was the 1995-96 marketing year when ADM moved corn from its Decatur ethanol plant back into the feed market. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it for the corn market.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, Sean.
Chip, how does it impact at a time where we are trying to put a stop to these waivers and all the politics around the RFS? If all of a sudden a whole bunch of South American corn comes into the U.S. for ethanol, is that politically bad timing for the biofuel industry from a farmer perspective? Does that complicate it or not?
Yes. Yeah, I think it does. I think it does complicate things. What do you think, Pam?
Well, you know, it wasn't very long ago when U.S. ethanol went into Brazil because of shortages there. So, you know, I'm not an expert on global trade, but this is how things work. And we hear around the world there's plenty of corn in Argentina and Brazil. So we'll just have to see how this all plays out. And, you know, like we've talked before, the corn out here, the beans, all of the crops, we're in uncharted territory to even get a handle on what we've got on planted acres or yields. So, you know, it's hard to speculate on any of this stuff.
Absolutely. You know, and the message that it would send, Sean, I think is where it gets complicated. The corn market is going to sort things out. The cash market will handle this and will distribute product and corn to where it needs to be when it needs to be there. I'm not worried about that, but politically, I see the point that you're making because, you know, we're doing everything that we can to be a reliable supplier. Farmers are doing everything they can to be a reliable supplier, but sometimes Mother Nature just kicks you in the butt and you can't do anything about it. So and the uncertainty that Pam was just talking about, this is worse than a drought year, isn't it, guys? It is, because in a drought year you at least can get your hands around planted acres at this time of the year. You don't know what the ultimate impact is going to be and what the yield is going to be, because it's going to depend on how long the drought lasts and everything, but this year you don't know yield, you don't know you don't know acres. It's Brian Grady explained it on Tuesday on the show, didn't he, Davis? He said it was an impossible puzzle to put together right now on figuring out this corn crop, and I think he's exactly right.
But, Chip, the market is going the harvest ratio for corn based on history, where in 83 you had 85.5% harvest ratio, 85.9 in 93, 91.2 in 95, and 91.7 in 2013. That's the parameters they're working with. All signals volatility, extreme volatility ahead.
Yeah. What Jim's talking about there is the harvested acreage percentage. And when you get into a year that is just ugly like this, you know, Dan Bossi said it on the show yesterday afternoon, we're going to use about 6 to 6.5 million acres in a normal year. 6.5 million acres get used for silage. Well, but this year you got to throw on top of it the crop that's going to be abandoned just simply because it's not worth harvesting. And boy, Haney, we're going to be talking about the 2019 crop for the rest of your career and my career.
This is the year of adversity. It is there. I think Grady put it absolutely that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
And then you add the complexity of when we get to the heat of the summer, how much is that impacting pollination? Yeah. It is just so fascinating, and it just boggles your mind trying to get your head wrapped around how does this actually look at the end of the day once the crop is in the bin.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben Renchi was on the show on Wednesday on the Farmer Forum. He also described it fairly well. He said, listen, if you're looking for an analog year, stop looking, because we're making the analog year right now. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this week's free-for-all right here on AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
This is Dave Robbins reporting from what can only be described as a cornfield under attack. With me is Jim Stafford, a local corn grower. Jim, what's happening here?
Mites, banks, two-spotted and carmine, you name it. This corn is under attack.
What are the plans, if any, to deal with this serious situation?
Well, we're not going to stand for it. We're going to fight the mite.
How?
ZLSC Miticide. Just one application by ground or air gives long-lasting mite control. Now that field corn, popcorn, corn for seed, and corn grown for silage are all labeled, mites don't stand a chance.
But what about their eggs?
ZLSC affects mites in all stages, even eggs.
What kind of timetable are we talking about?
ZLSC reaches mites under the leaf where they feed and hide with translaminar activity. For long-lasting protection after a single application, apply ZLSC at early threshold or as a preventative treatment.
ZLSC. It lasts so mites can't. Contact your local Valent representative or Valent authorized retailer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Hey, we've got the panel standing by, I've had a thought listening through this conversation, and we talked about how attitudes are kind of improving this week, over the last couple of weeks. I wonder if we're seeing campaign Trump. If he maybe approached the first part of his presidency as the Godzilla phase. Smash and make things scary and make bold statements and freak everybody out. And now that he has since officially said, yes, I'm running for re-election and made that announcement, keep America great, he said. Now we see him kind of cuddling up to Pelosi a little bit. We see things going, he's meeting directly with Trudeau. He's getting some things worked out. Is this a tone that he, do you reckon, can or intends to maintain up through re-election?
Boy, that's a good observation.
I'm just throwing
Davis.
It out there. I'm throwing it out there.
I don't know, Pam. Is this campaign Trump that we're seeing that it's going to stick around for a while?
Well, you know, we are in the election cycle. So when Sean asks, what are the political implications of corn and other issues, you'd have to say everything is political. So, you know, I got to wonder, Davis, if you're looking to be the campaign manager, because I think this is something we've been looking for, is some kind of normalcy moving forward. And
yes,
negotiations that are really negotiations and, quote, normal. I mean, why are we ecstatic about a president who's acting normal is beyond belief.
Right, right. I do feel like it has the potential to bode well on a series of issues that have dogged us for, you know, over a year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's really Biden's main claim to run for president, to return to normalcy. But what I say in my current speech is that very few people are talking about what would a second term Trump presidency look like.
Right. Right.
Nobody likes to talk about that, where he doesn't have to worry about re-election. A totally unleashed Trump. Let the discussion begin.
Yeah, yes. Loud noises, banging drums.
Yes, 4 years of the Godzilla phase.
And if it's like dog years, that's like 8 years, like 56 years. So,
well, we're in dog years, which I count, we're in year 24, by the way. I calculated that the other day. I'm exhausted and he's not.
So I'll buy into Davis's observation.
Yeah.
If I didn't listen to Tuesday night's speech in Orlando.
Okay.
Because what we saw Tuesday night in Orlando was the same stuff. And so I'm not convinced yet. I'm not there. What I do know is that if I was an elected official in the US, if I was a congressman or, you know, I was in the Senate, I'd be pushing to, like, we need to shorten these primaries, because how is it possible that Britain, they're going to select a new prime minister in like just over a month? In July 22nd, they're going to pick one of two candidates. It seems we've moved to a point. It's kind of ridiculous how long this takes in the primary process. It's just we never leave it. And it's just I think it really hurts.
Yeah. The question that I was going to ask is what for next week? What are we looking forward to more? The quarterly hogs and pigs report, quarterly grain stocks report, the acreage report, or the start of the Democrat presidential debates? It's going to take two nights to get to go through, and they're not even including two of them. I don't know which two, but it's going to take two nights to get them all through the debate.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to see the culling process, and that's the American way. So we're going to see who shines and who doesn't, and let the culling begin.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Jim, were we really 10 minutes away from military retaliation against Iran last night?
Based on the reports, there are some good publications who were reporting it. But then Bloomberg had an opinion column that basically signaled, was it a bluff? I take both sides into serious consideration. But he basically said, as Davis said, it's 150 people estimated to be killed versus an unmanned drone. Then he chose to pull it back. I think it was a signal to Iran that if you kill one American, there's going to be strikes, period.
Yeah. And I also it was also a way for President Trump to kind of say to Iran, listen, fess up and let's get a better understanding of exactly how this all went down.
Yeah, he does not want to go to a war with the rank. That's clear.
Yeah,
we're not hearing about the big button. Like, remember with North Korea, it was about, I got a bigger button. We're not hearing about the big button because this feels much closer to reality.
Yeah. Okay, I mentioned those reports coming next week, and Jeff Wilson in Markets Now mentioned the hog slaughter that we're dealing with right now. We've got, it's just running way above trade expectations. So that quarterly hogs and pigs report that are getting next week, we got to pay close attention to that. The acreage report, we're going to pay attention to it, guys. But we're probably going to pay too much attention to it because it's going to be the uncertainty going into that acreage report has never been higher. Let's just put it that way. And the quarterly grain stocks report, maybe a sleeper, Jim?
Yes, but on the acreage, Chip, USDA's NASH should say in releasing the acreage numbers that they plan to do a special acreage update for the August crop production report. So that'll temper some of the comments on that.
Exactly.
Grain stocks is the wild card always historically of USDA because it's their weakest survey. So again, whatever number comes out of that is very volatile.
Yeah. And I would say that if corn stocks were as heavy as they are, as heavy as they've been reported to be, why are we talking about bringing corn in from South America to the ethanol plants? I mean, basis is telling us a different story.
The market is really talking, right, Chip? Market is talking.
Yeah. Exactly. Pam, good luck to you. I hope you weather these storms that are headed your way.
Yeah, thanks. We got to let the market work, right?
Yep. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Exactly. Thanks, Pam. We'll talk to you again next week. And Sean Haney, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Cheers, everybody. Have a great weekend.
All right. Jim Wiesmeyer, have a great weekend, bud.
Sure. I was live at Scherzer's Black Eye pitching event.
You got to see the Nats do that. All right. Hey, come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Steve Georgie from Allendale.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth. And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the ExactEmerge and individual row hydraulic downforce upgrade kits. Visit your John Deere dealer today.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.